Hey everyone, welcome to M2F Story. Today I am going to share with you Wearing Skirt at Office Part 19. So if you are new to the channel, then please consider subscribing. And check out my Patreon, patreon.com/M2F Story. Yes, sir. We are to either reprogram or eliminate anyone who might be a threat to this operation by whatever means necessary. All public information on any computer network anywhere in the US will be either wiped clean or replaced with the appropriate information matching the new appearances of the subjects. The reprogramming shouldn't be too difficult with the new tapes, and the wiping of the information should be accomplished in 36 hours or less. It ought to be a very simple job to do. It had better be easy, and it had better be done correctly, Frank. You know what is riding on this experiment. Not only the future of our country as we know it should be, but also our own personal safety and lives depend on this being done as quickly and as efficiently as possible. If the President or Congress should get wind of this before we are ready to present our complete and successful findings to them, we might as well kiss our collective asses goodbye. We'll spend the rest of our lives either in prison or in hiding from every spy agency the government can put on our trails. At least I will. You will be dead, Frank. I cannot afford to leave loose ends like you laying around. But let's not think of that right now. Let's think of the rewards that will await us when our theories are proven successful. We'll have the world at our feet at that point, Frank, and we won't know how to spend the interest on the money we will make from this, let alone the principal. Dr. Kelwicki is due in tomorrow afternoon from Vienna? Yes, Frank. He will arrive at approximately noon tomorrow at LAX. You and two men will meet him there and bring him straight here using the limo with the blacked-out windows. He will rest for about 8 hours and then perform the final surgery on the subjects, removing their external male organs and inserting the normal female reproductive organs and constructing their external genitalia. He is not only a master of this kind of surgery, he is the inventor and developer of the organs themselves. I do not know the exact means by which he does this, but it will be detailed in the courier packet he will be bringing with him. Sir, I am a bit concerned about leaving you here with only two men from the security force. With all the other teams out in the field, you will be vulnerable here. I know, Frank, but it is unavoidable. Besides, we know our cover is still tight. As far as the rest of the world is concerned, this is just a simple delivery service. No one but those of us involved knows that the basement contains these labs and rooms. Okay, sir. You're the boss here, but I don't intend to leave you here alone any longer than I absolutely have to. Too much depends on the success of this operation. You can bet that I will be back here with the doctor before you even know I'm gone. Very well, Frank. We all know what we have to do, and we know that it has to go right, or we are all lost. We are the only ones who believe in the stories of the alien threat. The President and Congress don't believe it, but I have seen the proof. No means are too extreme to assure the survival of our race. If we fail, history will note this date as the beginning of the end for the human race. Even now, the new Arcanian ambassador is scheduling the peace accords with our government, and if he succeeds, it'll only be a matter of a few years until the alien infiltrators are everywhere throughout the world in positions of power. We must buy time for our scientists to master the technology of that UFO that we captured last year. As far as we have been able to determine, that ship belonged to the only race to ever successfully resist the Arcanians' enslavement of their worlds, the Alphans. You also know that the world is unaware of the presence or even the existence of these aliens so far. The only ones who know of their existence are those in power, and they are hiding it from the general public until everything is settled, and they feel that the rest of the world can be told of them. You can depend on me, sir. I'll get the doctor here or die trying. Has there been any more news of the Arcanian hit team that we detected near here last week? They have eliminated 4 of 5 of our members in the last month, you know. No, Frank, they haven't been heard from in the last 5 or 6 days. We have to hope that they are still in Nevada sifting through the false leads we left there. If we are lucky and we have done our work properly, they won't get wind of this part if our operation until after we are ready for them to know about it. By then, it'll be too late for them to do anything openly about it, and we will have more security measures in place. According to the latest data, the Alphan force field will be available to us, and the Arcanians have nothing portable that can penetrate that. They would need a full-scale assault by one of their large cruisers to penetrate even this small version of the field, and they won't risk that, even if they do find us here. We're also fortunate that we were able to salvage that Alphan scout ship that crashed in the Nevada desert last month. If that hit team had beaten us to it, we would have been in serious trouble. As it is, they know it crashed, and they know that the MIB got to it first. What they don't know is that the MIB are working for us. It's too bad that we have to do any of what we have planned for Jim and Carrie and Dan, but if they had gotten any more suspicious, they could have jeopardized our mission, and we can't allow that to happen. Yes, sir, I understand that. Actually, their resistance to the hypnotic programming has proved to be an advantage to the mission, though. Now we will have three agents who should be able to infiltrate the Arcanian legation without the slightest suspicion, seeing as how the Arcanians consider females unimportant and useful only for breeding and child rearing, and they seem to have developed a real fascination with Earth females. Yes, Frank, that's very true. I don't yet know why they consider Earth females so exotic, but it will work to our advantage. Through Jim and Dan and Carrie, we will have eyes and ears inside the Arcanian hierarchy here on Earth, and we'll be able to take them down from within. The information gathered by our agents will enable us to convince world leaders that the Arcanians are only interested in subjugating the human race as they have done to so many others across the stars. Once we can convince the leaders, then we can introduce the Alphans and their technology, and with that, we can drive those Arcanian bastards back into space and away from our planet forever. Sir, I have to ask you, for my own peace of mind, can't we let Jim and Carrie and Dan in on this and offer them the chance to volunteer? I hated lying to them, and especially Jim. He seemed to be a decent guy, and he has showed remarkable willpower through all of what has been done to him. For that matter, so has Dan. Carrie is just a money-hungry investor and will make an excellent servant to the Arcanians once we have wiped his memory. But I think we need people like Jim and Dan on our side, not as just brain-wiped and programmed puppets, but as active and aware members of the mission team. Frank, you may be right about that, and I will discuss it with our people before the final mind wipe is done. I tend to agree with you, but the mission is what counts here, not our feelings about Jim and Dan. No sacrifice is too great to make in order to drive these aliens from our planet. And if that includes making sacrificial lambs of a few good people, including ourselves, well, that's the way it will have to be. We can't afford to fail here, Frank. If we do, well, you know what the result will be. Virtual slavery to the Arcanians and our planet stripped of every resource that matters. The end of the human race as a viable entity is the universe and one more world under the thumb of the Arcanian Empire. They must be stopped, and we are the ones chosen by fate or whatever to try to do it. With the help of the Alphans and their technology, we have a chance. Now go and try to get some rest. I will talk to Jim and Dan tomorrow after I speak with our people about your suggestion and get their approval. I also want to speak with the Alphan leader and get his take on it as well. Okay, sir. I'll try to get some sleep and be ready to pick up the doctor tomorrow. Thanks for considering my ideas about Jim and Dan. I think they could be of much more use to the team as active and knowing members of it instead of just programmed information gatherers like Carrie will end up being. You should get some rest as well, sir. You will need to be in possession of all your faculties when you speak with our people, and especially with the Alphans. You know that they demand absolute clarity of thought and purpose. The only reason they decided to help us in the first place is because their envoy saw something in our boss that convinced them that he and his organization could help defeat the Arcanians. You're right again, Frank. I will try to get some rest as well. What the hell is that? The fragment of tape ends here. We are not sure of what the disturbance was that caused the outburst from the individual who was speaking last, but our investigation will continue. Saturday, 12:35 a.m. I awoke with someone slapping my face. Not hard, but it was annoying me. I wanted to sleep. Why was it, I wondered, that lately it seemed like everyone who wanted to wake me up did so by slapping my face? Couldn't they just yell or throw cold water on me?
No!
I tried to get my hand up to stop whoever it was from slapping me, but I couldn't move my arms. I didn't want to open my eyes because I knew that once I did, I wouldn't be able to go back to sleep, and I wanted to sleep. I was so tired. I tried to say, stop slapping me and let me sleep, but it came out like, go away, let me alone, in a kind of whiny voice. Whoever it was that was slapping me just wouldn't quit it, though. So I finally opened my eyes and it was Joe. He stopped slapping me when he saw my eyes were opening and said, "Ginny, come on, you gotta wake up. Come on, honey, you have to wake up and we gotta get moving out of here." I couldn't figure out why Joe seemed so upset. But my mind was very fuzzy and I couldn't think straight. I began to remember a little bit of what Frank had been saying to me, but it didn't make a whole lot of sense to me, so, in my sleepy state, I dismissed it like one dismisses a bad dream. Joe started doing something by my side, and before too long I could move my arms again. I took advantage of that fact and tried to grab hold of Joe and pull him down to me, but instead he pulled me up to a sitting position and hugged me. In a ragged-sounding voice, he started telling me that he was glad to find me before anything had happened to me. He was murmuring things in my ear and holding me tight, and it felt so good. I think I finally knew at that exact moment that I had fallen for Joe. Yes, damn it, I was in love with another man. Okay, I know what you're thinking. You are saying to yourself, well, he must have always been gay. And this business with the bodysuit combined with the drugs in his system just finally brought it out. Well, you are wrong. I never in my life had ever had a thought about another man, but somehow I felt like it was all right to fall in love with this man, and that he would protect and love me back. Maybe the bodysuit and the programming and the drugs made it easier to admit to myself that I loved Joe, but it wasn't just those things. I had been pretty lonely most of my young life with few girlfriends, and none of them ever really serious, and none of them were anything special to me. They were just flirtations, just the normal experimentations of an inexperienced youth with no real idea of what he wanted or needed. All I really knew right then, sitting there being held tightly by Joe, was that, for the first time in my life, someone needed and wanted me. It didn't seem to matter to me whether that person was male or female, or whether I was, for that matter, male or female. All that seemed to matter to me right then was that I was being held and the one holding was telling me that he loved me. Everything began to come back to me then, and I started to tremble as I remembered the kidnapping and waking up here, wherever here was, and all that Frank had told me. Joe just held me tighter and was whispering things in my ear, and I never wanted him to let me go. But then he said, "Ginny, we've got to get out of here. I broke in and knocked out a couple of guys, but there have to be more of them around. I don't know how many of them there might be, but I didn't come prepared to handle more than two or three. I took a chance last night and I followed you home. I saw that van pull up out front and I saw those men take you and someone else out of your apartment. I followed the van and it led me here to AGD, where I watched them take you and the other person from the van and take you into the building. After a few minutes, I snuck up on one guy outside and knocked him out and tied him up and tried to figure out where they had taken you. It took me a few minutes, but I finally found a hidden set of stairs, and when I went down them, I found a locked door and another guard. I had to shoot him because he drew a gun on me and tried to shoot me. He had some keys on him, and one of them opened the outer door to this area. I waited until I had a chance and opened the second door, but when I did, I set off some kind of alarm and all hell is gonna break loose very soon, I think. I slipped off the table and tried to stand, but I was very wobbly on my legs and I suddenly realized that I was still naked. Joe handed me his jacket and I used it to cover myself up as much as I could, and we started out of there with Joe supporting me. I stopped suddenly, remembering Carrie and Dana, and mentioned them to Joe, saying, "Joe, we can't leave Carrie and Dana here. They are only here because of me and my suspicions. If something happens to them, it'll be my fault, and I won't be able to live with that." And Joe said, "Ginny, we don't have time to get them out too. If I can, after I get you to someplace safe, I'll come back for them with some help and maybe the cops, but right now, I have to get you out of here. That's it for today. Hope you have enjoyed it. If you do, then be sure to subscribe for the next part of this story. And show your support on Patreon.